just thinking about you and wanting to note you that a couple of things have developed and I'm going to be working with that. But anyway, primarily I got the draft copy of the appeal. And she said she's going to request a couple more weeks from, you know, the department so that she can, you know, work over the draft and, you know, and update it. I see it has a couple of mistakes on it, you know, so that has to be tuned up. Overall, the appeal touches on all corners, all four corners. Excuse me 1 minute. She touched on all the issues and using citing case law, you know, about what was happening. So, all in all, it's good. It's short, it's sweet, it's to the point, you know. But I assume that she's going to develop it up a bit more and, you know, add something to it. But for the most part, it looks pretty good. So she should be letting you know what she's doing shortly, I would assume. So, but anyway, I just caught her maybe 2 days ago, 3 days ago. She told me that I should be hearing from her very, very shortly. And then I got it. So I said, okay, this is what she was talking about. And she told me to call her the weekend, you know. So this afternoon, I'm going to try to touch base with her. My calls up this morning, then I'll try to get her this afternoon and express to her what I think, you know, needs to be touched on. And, you know,
now, do you think that the appeal is the kind of thing that can be circulated publicly?
Absolutely. And, you know, the significance of this particular appeal is that, like I said, it touches all of the bases, but it's just brief.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, the state has a tendency to, you know, just rubber stamp anything that these commissioners have been doing over the years with Pataki. Now, things might have changed right now, but, you know, there's no real way of knowing. However, we have the information that goes before the court, and that's where we're going at. So if they don't offer, you know, another hearing based on the arbitrary and capricious nature of their decision this trip and the blatant, just blatant lies, just, you know, and just covering up shit, then we'll just have to take it to the court. And then the court will have to say, well, listen, we're obliged to look at the issues of the law and not necessarily what their intent was over here at, you know, Department of Corrections. If their intent is to reset these people without, you know, a hearing, then, you know, they have to have some very good foundation in which to stand on. And what with the election just passing and a lot of Democrats coming into power, they know it's going to be a shifting and balance of the power. So I don't think anybody's really rushing out there to stick their necks out there, you know, like business as usual, you know, trying to do their thing. I think they're really going to be concerned and operate around the interest of the law until the smoke clears and they know just what's going on. So our appeal is timely in that nature. So, again, it looks pretty good.
And should we be getting people to write letters of support in regards to the appeal? Is it the kind of thing that...
Absolutely. That phase next. As soon as we get this direct appeal into... This is the administrative point to the executive team. This is still under corrections. So this is still going under this commissioner now. So this is the commissioner's review of the commissioner. So far, I was just reading, there's one guy here in this facility who just had a reversal on almost the exact same issues that I had in his parole hearing. They said that it was just extreme. They just kept hitting him with the seriousness of the crime and just didn't really make any sense. And that the seriousness of the crime is never going to change. So you have to really pay more attention to the number of years he's done and what he's accomplished in that court. And he's done a lot of things. So the executive team has absolutely reversed his decision. No, excuse me. It went through the court. It was Article 78. And the courts reversed it and sent it back down. So they're doing a lot to these cases like this, you know. They're just not allowing them to any longer to pursue this line here. They're taking extreme measures with it. So hopefully it would mean that I'll get some kind of assurance on that by myself, you know. But, you know, we're just going to just try it through. Another thing that has come up, I don't know if you've been able to see it in the papers, but... Russell Maroon Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's in either Philadelphia or Florida. I'm not too sure which one of the penitentiaries he's in. But he's a former Panther Party member, you know. And he has about 30 years in. Well, his cell was recently raided. And they came and they confiscated everything out of his cell. All books, papers, magazines, legal mail, everything. And left him one pad and one pen. Then they informed him that this wasn't done because of any disciplinary actions that was taken or anything that he had violated any rules. It's just that because of his past political associations and belief system, it is believed that he would function as a terrorist, so they're taking immediate steps under the national security nonsense, and they're just raiding his entire cell. So I was reading this stuff, and I said, man, what kind of crazy shit is this? And then shortly thereafter, my cell got raided. I was walking with some, you know, those Yahoos, you know, you get, you know, web prints off the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly like, you know, current events, shit off the news and stuff. Well, I had gotten one of those. In fact, I had three of them, you know, and I get them often, you know, so. And they come through the regular mail and shit, this and that and the other. I was going out on my way to the gym, and per my, you know, habits, you know, I always carry them, I'd let Swift read them, and, you know, in the newspaper too. And I was going over there, and I had something called Update. And Update had a picture of the Black Panther on the cover, and it was talking about a brother by the name of Kun, a former Black Panther Party member that I do not know him personally, but there was a tribute to him. He had passed away recently. So one of the officers was looking at it, you know, and he was mesmerized by this pamphlet, so he just felt he needed to show it to his friend. Like, look what this guy's got here, you know. But, you know, in the newspaper. So, you know, as they're passing through, he happens to look down and he sees these Yahoos. So he knows it's up on a webpage. So he looks at me and says, where'd you get this from? Where did I get this from? I got it through the mail, you know. So he said, you're supposed to have this. I said, you're not supposed to have this. So I'm looking at him. I said, man, like, what the fuck is this bullshit here, you know? So you wait right here. So he ran and he went to a sergeant by the name of Higley, and he told Higley that I had some stuff off the internet, and prisoners are not supposed to have anything off the internet. And Higley explained to him and said, no, he's allowed to have that. This is something off the news, so what they do is, well, first of all, under the internet web pages, you can't have, you know, information pertaining to another prisoner. Now, I can go to www.docs.com, you know, and look up all kinds of prisoners and find out what they're in the penitentiary for and where they are and how much time they've been doing and what they got busted for. Now, that, they say, you cannot do. You can't have information on anybody else. But articles, you know, photocopies and shit like that, you're entitled to size sheets per envelope. So he's explaining to this guy here this, you know. So now the guy's upset, you know. So to appease him, he called me over and he said, listen, where are you taking this to? And I told him I was taking it to recreation. Again, this is permissible. You can take newspapers, magazines, books to recreational periods and stuff. And he knew that I, you know, that I could do it too. But to appease his bird here, he told me, he said, listen, I'm going to get this to your hall captain. You come back from recreation, you can pick it up, you know. You shouldn't be taking this to recreation. Blah, 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 blah. So it was either the fact that it was web page information or the fact that what it was talking about. I think this one was talking about the Animal Liberation Front, or it might have been talking about something about the Guantanamo Bay. I'm not really sure what exactly was in these two Yahoo newsprints. But anyway, I went on to recreation. When I came back from recreation at 11 o'clock, I saw this officer in my cell, searching my cell. So they told me I had to sit on the catwalk, but I could observe what he was doing, you know, while he was working in my cell. Now, this particular officer, he wasn't from my block. He was from another block. He happened to be from the same block that the police that had a problem with what I had in the first place was assigned to. So anyway, this guy's running through all my cell. My cell is pretty much tore, but I'm just looking in and I'm watching him. So he's walking out the door. He has a manila folder with a lot of pages in it. I said, excuse me, where are you going with that stuff? And he says, I'm going to take this as all being investigative, so I have to be investigated. I said, well, may I see what you have there? When I looked down, what I thought was, just at the accusatory glance, was two packs of carbon paper, which I had just purchased from the commissary. I said, man, what is this? I'm not going to take carbon paper out of my cell and shit? So I said, excuse me, you know, there's one of those pages in there, that folder you have there has part of my personal mail in it. He says, I don't know anything about that. I said, well, didn't you investigate what you're taking out of here? He said, listen, I've been here for 20 years. I know what I'm doing. I said, well, yeah, well, I've been here 30 years plus, and I know how to write. So what do you have there? So he just broke out. He said, I'm not even going to talk to this guy here. So I assume because these two guys came out the same block, this was a racial thing that they were doing. He just didn't like what I had. He didn't like me. And he sent his man to go search my cell to tear my cell up. But neither one of them work in my block, so I said, okay. So I go in the cell, and I'm looking around, and I'm checking for things, and I'm, you know, trying to put the cell back together. And I immediately noticed two things that I couldn't find. The one I noticed right away, the other one I couldn't find. One, I noticed that the calendar, the PP calendar that's on my wall, was missing. Now, the picture for the month of November has a picture of Asada Shakur, and, you know, it's a painting somebody did, a rendition of Asada. So, therefore, I guess he looked up at this and, oh, this guy can't have this. He took that down. I had just gotten the 2007 catalog not 3 days ago through the mail. That, too, was missing. So those are the two things that I assumed to be carbon paper, which actually with the red, you know, coloring on it, I just confused it with what I thought it was actually the calendar. I had a printout of all my telephone listings, you know, my proof telephone listings that I can make phone calls on. I had just gotten that maybe 2 days ago. This list has all of, you know, my phone numbers, the 15 phone numbers that I use, the people's names, the people's addresses, and their relationship to me on this printout. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, why this guy here was taking all this stuff out here. He needed to take that because all this stuff comes through the councils and stuff, so it's all approved. So I really didn't understand why he needed personal information from me. I looked upon the contraband slip to see what he had listed that he had taken out of my cell, and it had only one statement there, one packet of papers removed. So there's no listing of anything that was taken out of my cell. He just grabbed it and walked on out. I told him before he left that he had personal mail in that because that particular envelope that he took, I keep typing paper in there. Whenever I make letters out, I need copies of so that I can refer to them, either something that I ordered or something that I needed to say to somebody, you know, and I wanted to keep a note of it in case it comes back. It was stuffed in this particular folder. And I don't believe he took anything out because I couldn't find any of those papers or special with his name anywhere. So I know they were still in that envelope. So he just took that because he saw something in there that sparked his interest, something that I wrote to somebody that he was intent on taking out to try to prove his point because I guess they had to have some justification for being there. So I came downstairs and I spoke to the hall captain in charge of my block and I told him, I said, listen, this person, this guy, Hartfield, had taken some papers out of my cell and he didn't even itemize, you know, statement about what he took, which is, you know, part of his job description that he must do. Did he leave an itemized description about what he took out? He says, I don't know anything about what he did up here, you know. I don't know anything about it, which told me that he didn't know why this guy was in the block in the first place. So I said, okay. I went that next day and caught up with Sergeant Higley, the one that had told me earlier that the Yahoos were, you know, he told the officer that these papers were permissible, that I could have them. And I told Sergeant Higley that, you know, this officer removed a lot of stuff out of, so I first asked him about the two Yahoos that he had, and he said he was going to return to the block to my hall captain so I could get them back. And he told me, no, I didn't give them to you, I didn't give it to him, I gave it to this officer Hartfield, who got involved, understand he searched the cell, which meant to me, and I understood it, you know, what was being said was that he approved that. Whatever happened, he did that. He sent this guy to myself, so protocol is violated. They have to have a reason, a probable cause to search my cell. If they're lacking probable cause, if this is some random search, and the sergeant can order a random search, you know, it has to be based on something, then he is allowed to review my cell. He's allowed to look for weapons. He's allowed to look for drugs. So that means they can tear the cell up. But it doesn't require him to start taking papers out of there that which he feels or he believes to be in violations of any, you know, policy or procedure. By directive, the calendar that he says is on the wall, perhaps the picture in it made him feel that he needed to take that and confiscate that. However, that would be an act of him making a determination that this is not permissible, but this stuff comes through the mail. And when stuff comes through correspondence through the mail, correspondence is supposed to take a preliminary examination of everything that comes in. And if there's any doubt that these calendars are not allowed or whatever, then they must go through the process of media review. We have a process that, you know, evaluates all the stuff, what is it, what isn't. So for this person, you know, for whatever reason that he did what he did, it's been 3 days now. It was the 8th that he went in my cell. To this day, nothing has been returned to me. I have no, you know, process receipts about what they took out of my cell. I'm missing a number of things that I'm in the process of, you know, evaluating. And I've already talked to Susan, and I asked Susan to basically get in touch with this facility and as well as Albany, and let's really like take a look at this thing here to see what this racist act, this motivation was. And not knowing these officers, you know, having no contact with them, and just knowing them by their methods in here, they have serious reputations of running around here causing disturbances whenever and wherever they can. I've never had a problem with them, but the fact that this guy happened to be in an area where I was coming through, which is something I normally do every day, you know, for just recreation with material, reading material. He just happened to be there this one day, and he took exception of something he felt I couldn't have, but his immediate supervisor told him I could have, told his partner, who he works with, he said, listen, I can't go down there, but go down to his cell and tear it up and see what you can find. And this guy, thinking to appease his partner, just grabbed up anything and everything he could find that remotely remembered, mentioned anything about my political associations and or beliefs. Therefore, saying that this is the justification for that.
Now, what do you think that, I mean, we can get the message, we can get your message out in terms of describing exactly what happened. Is there something that people on the outside should be doing? Do you want us to call in, or do you want us to...
I asked Susan to call in and I'm filing a formal complaint to the superintendent of this facility here, Robert Kirkpatrick, and I'm also sending a copy of that to, you know, to the deputy superintendent of security for violation of protocol. These officers have what they call an employee's manual that it defines their job description and their duties in any given place where they work at. There is a procedure. The supervisors are supposed to act on responsible procedure, and certain steps are supposed to be taken in the course of procedure in order to enact any search or any disrespect or slight to my culture, I mean, to my character. What I think, after I finish this paperwork to them, I'm going to file a serious complaint. I'm running rushing off to the court. I think that's what Susan is thinking about doing, too. But I think that if we don't, you know, attack this thing seriously, if we allow these officers to take whatever whim or will they decide to do and to carry out in these facilities, the response is going to be somebody is going to take exception to it and push it to a different degree. And then they're justified in creating a conflicting condition in here to claim that, you know, once again, officers are under siege here and have been for some length of time. But if we just look back from today, going backwards, to say at least 2 years, and we find no probability or culpability of anybody really inflicting any kind of threat or harm to officers in here that would justify, you know, a heightened situation unless they create it. So by coming out and expressing that this is something that they do normally, and their supervisors are not acting on it, their supervisors are actually collaborating in one of these issues here, we need to point these things out and so we can stop this crazy conduct before it gets too far.